Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, friends. This segment of the show is brought to you by Olive Crest and features Richard Del Monte from the Del Monte Group, LLC in Alamo, California. We're going to talk about how to create a thriving family experience for your family. Really looking forward to it. So, Richard, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Pleasure to have you. And we always like to start by getting to know a little bit about our guests. So could you share a little bit about your background and how you got into this particular line of work?
Sure. I started in the investment advisory business about 30 years ago, 1985. And I noticed after about 15 or 20 years that as the clients that I had started working with as they retired were passing on, that some amazing things were happening, that when the children were inheriting the money that we had carefully crafted and, you know, and nurtured and invested and protected from taxes and all that stuff, when the kids were getting their hands on it, amazing things were happening. First, they were fighting with each other. They were suing each other. And they were also doing things that was, to me, even more, a little bit more horrifying. They were calling me up and saying, hey, we're firing you, and we're going to take this money, and we're going to invest it with this guy who promised, I'm not kidding you, this guy who promised that he can double it in 90 days. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
His name Madoff?
You know, well, it's just like they were scam artists.
Right.
Know? People were getting sucked into it, and they had no training whatsoever.
Yeah.
So the money was just getting flushed down the toilet to lawyers. The family relationships were getting destroyed, and they were giving it to crooks.
So what the money that you had helped very carefully craft and build for a whole generation was about to evaporate.
It was going up in smoke, and I'm thinking to myself, what is the point of my entire career if this is what's going to happen at the end? And even on a broader scale, what's the point of these wealth creators to spend their whole lives making this money to be able to pass on and leave a legacy to their kids and to have this happen? You know,
was
like, okay, well, something's got to happen. What can we do to change this outcome?
Well, you know, it's a good point, and it happens a lot, too, when people get lump sums like insurance proceeds and nobody's told them what to do with it, right?
Yep. Any kind of sudden money where the people are not prepared for what's going to happen and they're thrust into situations where they haven't been, you know, vetted. And in some cases, I have clients who have children with $12 million trust funds, and these kids are 30 years old, and the kids don't even know they have them. You know, and they just, the parents have been afraid to tell them. Mm-hmm. And so when we're talking about investments with these kids, you know, they're saying, well, this has got to be long-term money. So obviously we've got to keep it safe and put it in CDs. And I'm like, really? You know, I mean, there's just no training whatsoever. It's really sad.
No, it's a good point. And you know, you hate to see what's the old saying, the first generation makes it, second generation enjoys it, and the third generation destroys it.
Yep.
You don't want to see that. So you started... is that what you do with Del Monte Group now, is you help people to figure these roadmaps out and these intergenerational transfers?
Right. So we've expanded our reach, and it's not just traditional, you know, wealth management anymore, but it's really looking at the family from the context of the family intergenerationally. So it's not no longer just about mom and dad. It's about mom, dad, the kids, the grandkids, and how are we going to make sure that every generation, you know, that receives this money does the best thing they can for it. I mean, ideally, you'd like to see three generations of people who are like, you know, the Gates family, you know, with that kind of an attitude about the world and what really what value really money can be when it's used properly.
So do people call that their legacy? Is that a term you use a lot? Is that a term that's used too much out there?
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunately, it's been hijacked because there's lots of organizations who say they do. They've used legacy planning. They've used family values, values-based planning, other kinds of terms, and they've all been sort of hijacked. And when people hear the term, they think, oh, I know about that already. I've already done that. And in most cases, they haven't. What they've been sold is a bill of goods, like, yeah, come on in here and we'll, you know, we do legacy planning with you. But then it's once they get the money, then that's the last time they ever hear about it.
Right. And so you call it a thriving family experience. So, describe what you mean by that and why is it important?
Well, so what that means is it's an actual experience where the family is working together to address the root causes of these families disintegrating after the parents die. And there's been some studies done by Williams and Prizer and others, and they've identified some major factors that cause these families to disintegrate. The largest one, like 60%, is a lack of communication and trust within the family. And then another 25% are caused by a failure to prepare the heirs for the roles and responsibilities they're going to have after mom and dad are gone. And then another 10% or so are caused by the family not having agreed upon a mission for their wealth. I mean, these are families that have more wealth than they need. And it's like, what are we going to do? What's our purpose for this wealth? What do we have it for? And lacking a purpose, you know, it's everybody going in their own direction and chaos ensuing. So we take the families and we help them to address all those issues and make sure that those things do not derail them once mom and dad are gone. And you have to do that ideally while mom and dad are still on the scene, because they can sort of, you know, provide the velvet hammer to keep everybody in line and, and working working towards these common goals. Unfortunately, when we try to work with families after mom and dad are gone, it's a lot more difficult because there's, you know, that cohesiveness, that, you know, like I said, that hammer that mom and dad have to keep everybody in line is missing.
At that point, the damage has been done and a lot of new friends are in the picture, huh?
Oh, man, new friends, new advisors, new hangers-on, you know, everybody, all the, and then, you know, then the ball is already in motion and you're, you know, you're going down the wrong road.
Now, how do you deal with the situation where the parents are a little reluctant to talk about these types of issues? Because that happens a lot out there, right?
That happens, unfortunately, way too much. And in fact, you know, my father passed away about 2 years ago, and he left a very tiny little bit of money to my sister, who was disabled. She was on Social Security disability. Mm-hmm. So he left her a little small account. Like, I'm telling you, it was $8,000 to my sister, and didn't tell my brother. My brother found out about it on the day my father died. And he hasn't spoken to my sister since, because he's convinced that she manipulated him into giving her that money. And, you know, and I mean, we were all there holding his hand when he passed away. And then the next day, that afternoon, already the rift had been started. So, you know, these things are happening. And when parents do not talk to their children because they're afraid, a lot of times they're afraid that it's going to make them, you know, lose their work ethic, or, you know, they're not going to try hard, or they're just going to lay back. And there's the old saying, you know, people say to wealthy heirs, what do you do for a living? And the kid says, I'm a waiter. Oh, you're a waiter. Yes, I'm waiting for my inheritance. You know, and so that's parents' biggest fear. But unfortunately, when they don't deal with it and tell the kids what's going on, what's going to happen after they're gone, who's going to be the executor, who's going to be the beneficiary, and they don't prepare the kids by giving them chances to have leadership and have experience in these roles beforehand, they're actually sowing the seeds for their own demise. They think that they're helping the kids by protecting them from this wealth, but they're actually sowing the seeds for the demise, because they don't know how to communicate, they don't trust each other, all these things come up, and the parents are causing it, you know, unwittingly in many cases.
Yes, small mistakes can cause unhappy Thanksgivings forever.
Huge.
And so, you know, it's a great issue. We deal with a lot of, obviously, or a lot of our listeners are business owners, and they might have children that are involved in the business, children that aren't involved in the business, a wide variety of conflicts that can come about. So what kinds of activities do you do with the families you work with to bring them together to talk about this type of a thing?
Great question. So a lot of it, we have several facets to the approach. The first thing you have to do, I think, is important, is to make sure that the family documents and understands their shared history, where the family came from, how they got there. Most families that are well off came from middle class roots, you know, where they started out kind of shirt sleeves, and they started out relatively poor. Somebody hit it out of the park with success, and then they've learned a lot of lessons as a result of this experience. And, you know, a lot of times that doesn't get documented, doesn't get shared with the kids. Mm-hmm. And then when, like they say, when somebody dies, it's like a library burns down. All that wisdom, all that potential mentorship is lost for all future generations of the family. And so we make sure and gather that. We capture it. We interview the parents. We do video interviews and audio interviews.
I see.
We create what we call a family vision statement. And that tells the next generation, okay, this is how we got here. This is what we believe was important. These are the values and experiences that made us successful. And this is what we want you guys to know going forward. Now it's your turn to figure out what you're going to do with your life. But here's the baton, you know, we're passing this off to you.
Exactly. So here's the foundation of the future. Now it's up to you to build on that foundation.
Right. You may not have the same values, the same politics, the same, you know, philanthropic interests, the same goals as we did. But, you know, you can always look back on how we dealt with our challenges, and every family has challenges. And we make sure and document. A lot of these kids don't even have any idea that their parents went bankrupt 2 times. You know, the parents try to put on the best face, like, we're all successful and everything. And the kids think, you know, unfortunately, we get that Superman thing going on where a lot of kids think, I can't even try to do something in business because if I fail, I'm going to look miserable to my parents. You know, I'm going to be an embarrassment. But they don't even realize that the parents failed themselves many times, you know. And so we make sure and capture all those experiences. Well, so that the kids get an accurate view of how they got there.
And then there's the flip side of that where the parents are now making it look so easy that the kids are saying, well, that's what I want, the easy life. And they don't realize that it all started off with, you know, near disasters and long, long work days.
Yep. Huge struggles. I mean, when I first got started in the business way back when, 30 or so years ago, there was a time when I got down to having a half a tank of gas and no more money. You know, and it was like, I look at that now, it was horrible then, but I look at it now, it's like, man, that's like a badge of honor to me that I actually made it through that and I persevered. And that's something that I want to make sure my kids understand, that when they get their backs against the wall, they don't have to cave. They can persevere, you know, and that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. So that's a big piece of it. And then we start having family meetings. Some families will create a family council, which gives the next generation an opportunity to start leading, you know, having leadership roles in the family. And they do it in ways that doesn't challenge mom and dad. One of the big problems we see is mom and dad are, you know, all powerful, even into their 80s, and they don't want to give up control.
Yeah.
But they need to give these kids experience. And when I say kids, they could be 60 years old, you know, it's often the case. But
right.
The next generation needs experience and leadership and making decisions, because when the family's business or the family's real estate empire or whatever gets passed on to them, if they're not prepared, it's going to be chaos. So when we give them projects to work on as well, I can, you know, if we have time, I can talk about those. But there's different kinds of projects that we have the family work together on. And basically, you know, one of them could be like a family bank, for example. So we'll have the parents write the kids a check, all the kids a check, their 4 or 5 children, whatever they have. And then we tell the kids, okay, now you have to go out and figure out how to invest this money. And we want you to come back next year and tell us how you did with this money. The kids think we got to make a huge return to impress mom and dad. But the parents just want to see, can these kids work together? You know, what's that going to look like? So the kids need to be mentored through that process, because you might have a successful lawyer as one kid, and then you might have somebody who's never worked a day in their life, you know, as another kid, and they have to be able to treat themselves as equals, respect each other and all that. It takes something to be able to get that to happen. So some kind of a project for the family to work on that they decide is important is crucial to be able to get the kids on the right track.
That's a great point. So, you know, one of the things that it's tough for business owners, say, in their 50s and 60s, to think about turning over their business to the next generation. They need to have that trial period where they can see, is this going to work or not for a few years.
Absolutely.
Now, is there a frequent catalyst that you see where people say, you know, it is time to start giving over control. I've been controlling things too long and it's time. Does it have to be health related, or are there other things that you see people say, well, now I'm changing my mind and I'm not going to be the controlling person I once was. It's time to
Yeah, great question. Ideally, it's way before anybody starts having any requirements to do it, like health or something else. And you're doing it in something that doesn't really, the parents really don't care whether if it doesn't go well. You know, they just rather find out right now. It's like a little mini experiment, a pre-inheritance experiment, you know, and the kids get to cut their teeth and they get to make all their mistakes and, you know, and get all the bugs out, so that when it's time, this helps give the parents confidence that the kids are going to be able to do this well by doing it in some way that doesn't threaten the parents. And in fact, ideally, the parents aren't even involved in it at all. They're working with some kind of a facilitator, that helps them work together and work out the bugs and learn how to communicate and act together. So once they get through with that, the parents go, hey, you know, that worked out okay for the last couple of years. Maybe I can move these kids into managing one of my properties or, you know, taking over some arm of the business because they've demonstrated that they can do it.
Baby steps. You know, I appreciate this is a fascinating topic. I want to pick this up some other time, and we've just got a minute or two left. But could you give our listeners a tip or idea or precaution?
You know, start early and think about what's going to happen after you're gone. Think about actually how the kids are going to get along. People think that their kids get along great, but they've never been in a position. They get along great as siblings, but not as business partners, co-beneficiaries, board of directors members, trustees. They have no experience doing those things. And so for people to think that they're going to get along great, unfortunately, is just wishful thinking.
So maybe take a day of your life just to dream about the future and what it's going to be like without you in it, something like
right,
that.
Right.
And you have a white
about what you can do.
You have a white paper called "The Thriving Family Experience" available at your website, right?
Yes, actually, they can. I don't know if it's on the site yet, but
okay,
they can email me.
Okay.
Richard@aplaceofpossibility.com, and we can.
I like that website. So that's your website is www.aplaceofpossibility.com, and that speaks volumes for the type of work that you do, and it's very important. Yep. And I really enjoyed having you on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been great.
You know, yeah, like I said, we always like to follow up in a few weeks or months and have you back so we can really dive deep into some of these issues because they're so important to so many of our listeners who are out there saying, I want to have happy Thanksgivings forever and ever for my family.
Exactly, exactly.
I just want everybody to...
The traditional advisors really don't know how to do that, and so they don't, you know, they end up doing it with, like, wills and trusts and things that control the next generation instead of, giving them great opportunities.
Questions and stories and thoughts and moving people forward. Well, thank you very much, Richard Delmonte, for being on the show. I've been talking with Richard Delmonte of Delmonte Group, LLC in Alamo, California. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50 plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well planned. We upload new 1-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.